So for listeners, let me set a stage. Both Dana and I are at Social Media Marketing World. It's around 5,000 people convening in San Diego, California to talk all things social media marketing, obviously. I don't know Dana. She doesn't know me. I think it's the first night of the conference and there's kind of a mixer thing before everyone heads off to dinner or whatever they're going to do. And I spotted you with a person that I love and follow and I'm going to claim friendship with, and that's Mark Schaefer. And I wanted to talk to him because he's been on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast and just catch up with him. And within 2 seconds, he introduced us. And within about a nanosecond, I could tell, oh, wait a minute. You aren't just a social media person who wants to talk about click rates and blah, 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 blah. You're a human being who has the opinions and thoughts and passions of a human being and is about as personable as a golden retriever. So I knew I wanted to talk to you. And, you know, we saw each other a couple times during the entire event, but that frankly was not enough for me. And that's why I wanted to reach out to you to get you on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast so I could just plain learn more about you. Tell me, why were you hanging out with Mark Schaefer that first night at Social Media Marketing World?
Well, I love Mark. He's amazing. When I first went to the first year I was at Social Media Marketing World, I didn't know what was going on. I mean, I really didn't. I missed his keynote. I wasn't like really good at following like schedules and stuff like that. And I completely spaced that out. I didn't know there was a keynote. Go figure. But when I listened to his keynote after the conference was over, I was like, oh my gosh, finally, here's someone that knows something about marketing. And it's not just, like you said, not just, you know, click rates and, you know, views, and it's the basic marketing principles that can be taken in any avenue, you know, no matter what you're doing, whether it's social, traditional, whatever. And he just was speaking my language. And I think if you know these principles, you can, you know, you can be successful anywhere. So I reached out to him. I started following him on social media and he was doing a lot of live videos. And he was also in the middle of writing a book at that time. And it was a book called Known, How to Develop Your Personal Brand. And he would ask questions on Facebook of just, you know, hey, I'm just curious. I'm writing this book. Or he didn't actually say he was writing a book. He would just throw out a question. The question that I answered was on, do you think people should start a business solely based on because it's their passion? And I just, I hate that. I hate it when people are like, oh, I'm really interested in this. I'm just going to start a business because it's a passion of mine. And it's just like, stop it. No, just because you love it doesn't mean other people are going to love it.
Right.
So I answered and I guess he liked my answer. And he said, hey, Dana, would it be okay if I use that in my book? And I was like, oh my God. Duh, of course it'd be okay. So that relationship grew to, I hired Mark, which he, I don't even know if he still has this on his website, but it's so cheap. You know, it was like at that time, spend an hour with me or pick my brain kind of coaching session for like $200. And I hired him for that. And he and I spent about an hour on the phone together, like just on a Zoom call. Actually, no, we just did a FaceTime. And it was so much fun. Like we just really clicked and connected. Yeah. And so he and I have been friends ever since. And I love him. He's one of those guys that is just so real and authentic and personable and just so intelligent.
Well, and you really hit on something that I find tremendously interesting and valuable about Mark. And that is he doesn't talk click rates. He's not talking SEO. And it's not, I don't want to belittle those things.
No.
But those things are like, those are techniques. As opposed to strategy, those are tactics instead of strategy. And he's a strategy guy and he's a understand how human beings actually think, work, buy, associate. Understand those things first. Then you can select whatever tool set makes sense to achieve those things.
That's right.
You know, I can't tell you how many times that I've been at some of the seminars at Social Media Marketing World just going bored, 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 because you're talking about tags and how to tag your photos in Instagram or something like that. It's like, ugh. Okay, how about instead you talk about how to project your personality in a way that attracts people on Insta visually? Let's just say visually. Because that applies to Instagram, TikTok, Periscope. Is Periscope still around? I don't know.
I've never been on it, but yeah.
But the whole point is talking about how to project yourself visually absolutely makes sense across many different channels. My question is, are you the carpenter or are you the hammer holder?
Yeah.
If you're a carpenter, you use whatever tool can do the job.
Yeah, and that's what it is. I mean, Facebook is a tool. You know, Instagram is a tool. I used to tell my clients, I am a tool. And they'd be like, yeah, Dana, we know you're, and I'm like, haha, whatever.
Yeah, right.
I'm so with you there. When I never want to be that person that teaches Facebook, how to do Facebook. Now, I've done that, and I do that in my consulting, but I don't want to be known for that.
Right.
I am obsessed with human behavior. I mean, I have at most a high school education. I went to college for 1 year, partied my way out. But now in my later part, midlife, I guess, I'm reading books on psychology. I've always been interested in psychology, but neuroscience, for instance. And it is like so fascinating to me because I feel like if you know what drives people, what makes them tick, then all these other things, those are just tools at your disposal. I read a lot of books by John Maxwell, who's very well known in the leadership industry, in leadership and business. But he would say, like, you know, people don't buy hammers or they don't buy drills, they buy holes, you know. And if you look at any type of marketing that way, that's what it is. And if you have the basis down, you understand human behavior. I don't know. And it's okay. I don't want to riff on people that teach that. I mean, we need that. We need to know those things. I'm like you, I get bored with it. I don't find it terribly interesting.
I've used that drills holes thing in a lot of the presentations I do because that finally gets people to understand that, oh, it's not about the tool, it's about the need. I don't need a drill, I need a hole in the wall. If I could, using my Superman laser vision, put a hole in that wall, I would never buy a drill. So why are you selling that drill based on its pounds, torque, RPM, you know, voltage, blah, 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 instead of saying you can go from no hole to hole in 0.2 seconds or, you know, whatever it is. Sell the benefit, not the features. But we can go all day on stuff like that. This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Culture Chicken Brand Egg. What's that? It's one of my most requested presentations, now available as in-person live or virtual online presentations. If you've got a group or association that loves presentations that inspire, inform, entertain, and get you going at the same time, we should talk. Head on over to dpknewton.com/speaking to download my full speaker media kit today. And let's start talking about how I can help you get your party started.
Yeah, I was just talking to one of my clients about that. They just started as a painting contractor and he just started a soft wash business and his son is running it. And he was talking about he's getting customer testimonials. And he said, I was taught to ask 3 questions. What made you choose Presidential Soft Wash? Why you chose us? What you liked best about us? And what you'd recommend to other businesses that want to do business with us. And I was like, okay, those are good, but let's get really great. And instead, how about you just ask them, what did your life look like before you used us? And what does it look like after you use us? You know, and I said, and you don't have to phrase it in that way. Just, hey, so before you use Presidential Software, what did your house look like? What was that feeling? You know, wow, I felt really embarrassed. You know, I had this mold all over my house, or I had, you know, my gutters were all stained up and my neighbors were looking at me sideways. And I was just, I wanted my house to look better. And you just answer that need. And I said, and when you do that and you ask them, but how do you feel now? And they tell you how good they feel and that they're not afraid to look their neighbors in the eye. And, you know, I said, you don't need to ask the other questions.
And the whole thing is those other questions you can answer in other places. For example, a website is a great place to go in depth on a page about how we do stuff. The stuff, exactly what you're talking about, which is eliciting the stories that attract people's attention, that keeps their attention and makes them go, huh, maybe I should check out your website to learn more about it. So again, I'm looking at your website, clipboardconfidence.com, and it has a very, let's call it a little bit of spicy style when it comes to the copy in there. I mean, your tagline is small business marketing that doesn't suck. That's got a little bit of heat I mean, come on. As a man, I would never do that on my website, but you chose to do it as part of your brand. Where do you come off, girl, putting that on your website?
Because it's noisy. You know, it's so easy to say small business marketing is amazing. Nobody cares about that. That doesn't get any noise. But when someone says small business marketing or marketing that doesn't suck, you know, how not to suck, instead of how to be amazing, how not to suck is so like in your face. There's a book by Sally Hogshead called Fascinate. And it talks about how different is better than better. When I read this book, I thought, she's so right. We spend so much of our lives trying to be better, trying to outdo the guy, you know, trying to outdo our competitors. When really, if we just go this way, maybe, you know, we just do like a horizontal shift, instead try to be different. Oh my gosh, it's just so much easier. And so that's why when I started in radio, I got a real love for writing copy. And everybody's radio commercial sounded exactly the same. And every business thought that they had to have, every bank had to sound like every other bank. And every, you know, car dealer had to have all the same things that we hate about car dealer commercials. And instead, I just flipped the script on that. And now I write commercials that say, because we still use traditional advertising here in Missouri, for my car dealer, I write commercials that say, you know what? We haven't been in business for 100 years by being jerks. And people go, what? And I make them record it. So that gets attention. Because truthfully, people don't care about if I'm going to save $4,000 on this car or $2,000. They want to know why I should do business with you. What are you going to do for me? And when you can write copy that is just real different and sticks out, I think that that can really stand out above the noise, unfortunately, that we're competing with.
Well, and also, I think there's another key aspect of having a little bit of language like that, that is really, really important. And that is, one, it's authentic to who you are, the way you talk, the way you think, the way you roll, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I'm kind of a maverick. And it does go with my brand. And I wouldn't recommend this language. I mean, like when I talk to people, when I talk to clients and stuff, I don't recommend they use this language if it doesn't fit their brand.
Exactly.
If they're wholesome, I mean, I just recommend they just be authentic. Just be you, you know, because you can't fake that.
Yeah, you can always spot the marketer who's walking in mom's high heels as a little kid going, hi, look, these fit perfectly and they just plain don't. There is nothing wrong with saying the things that you are saying about, hey, marketing shouldn't suck. If you agree, then I'm the person for you. If you're offended by the use of the word suck, don't call me.
You're not for me.
And that's what I wanted to point to as being a huge thing. It's filtering out people who will not like you.
You know, I listened to, and I think I listened to it twice, and I want to listen to it again. You recorded a podcast recently. I can't remember the lady's name, but she's the one that did the, with the military families.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jerrianne Weisbrook.
I loved that episode.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about a spitfire. Holy cow. This woman could have done, I mean, she is in marketing, but she's doing it. I just thought, oh, my gosh, just the knowledge that she has about marketing. And she's a military mom?
You know? Yeah, Military Mama Network. It's a free Facebook group for people who support active military wherever they happen to be and the families at home who are sacrificing as well. It's a fantastic group. And if you have anybody in your family or that you're associated with who's serving in our military in any capacity, anywhere, you should be checking out Military Mama Network because they work wonders, you know. And Jerrianne Weisbrook, boy, if you ever see her coming, get into your tornado shelter because she will tear your house off its foundation within the first 2 minutes.
You're so right. And you know what's funny? Because I remember exactly where I was. I was in the drive-thru at Wendy's and there was something that she said. I mean, there were some things that she was talking about and you were, I mean, it was just resonating with you. You were talking about how you met her and how she just kind of did the whole tornado thing with you on message clarity. And she was talking about how you will attract those that you should attract and you want to repel those that, because that's how people find you when your message is clear. Now, I'll be honest, there's a few things in there that I didn't quite agree with.
Right.
And that's okay. I mean, we can all have opinions, you know. I know she has a very strong opinion on not stealing people's stuff. And I've always had the saying that good artists steal, you know. So there's right. a few times when I'm just like, okay, there's no original. Because it kind of made me think, oh my gosh, Dana, should you really be, quote, you know.
The big thing for her was without attribution. There is nothing wrong with making someone else look great by including them in your thing.
Oh, 1,000%, 1,000%. But sometimes you kind of forget, you know, after a while, when you've given someone attribution and attribution, attribution, at some point it's going to become yours and you're going to put it in a different way. And not that you, you know, are hiding the fact that you didn't learn this, because we've all learned it from somewhere. But I just don't like to look over my shoulder and be concerned that someone's going to say, oh, she got that from so-and-so. You know, one of the biggest things about me actually being able to communicate, and this really set me on fire, was when I saw Chris Brogan at Social Media Marketing World. If you're not familiar with Chris Brogan, he's bestselling, New York Times bestselling author, probably the most authentic guy I've ever met in my life. And he and I are good friends. Oh, here, Dana, let me pick that up. You dropped a name.
Yeah, no
but,
kidding.
I hate that about what I just said. But anyway, I saw him at Social Media Marketing World and I spent an hour watching him laughing at his jokes. But there was one thing I walked away with. And he said, for God's sake, have an opinion. This is a few years ago. I said, maybe 4 years ago. I said, I can have an opinion? But no one's ever told me that. I was always giving attribution to everybody. But it never occurred to me that after 20 some years in marketing, that I could actually have my own opinion.
I cannot agree more, because one, this podcast is not a church. We don't agree on everything here. What I'm trying to do is just present people I find interesting for whatever reason and have them display on my podcast air why they are worth having on the podcast. And you're certainly doing that. I love having my own ideas tested, run over by a tank, and then especially when they spring back saying, nope, you ran over them. I still believe them for these reasons. Thank you for clarifying them in my mind.
Yeah. And I love, that's one of the things I really love about you, as I'm listening to your podcast and I'm reading your book, is that you're not afraid. Like, you're totally secure with somebody just disagreeing with you. In fact, when you invited me on the podcast, one of the things that I loved about your invitation was, it's okay to disagree with me. You actually had to put that, it's all right if you disagree with me, go ahead and say that. And so many people are so insecure that they can't handle someone disagreeing with them. And you're not that way. And I don't know how you and I didn't meet before, because every time I listen to one of your podcasts, every time I read more of your book, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this guy. He's speaking my language.
Well, that is good to hear, because let me say this to you, but also to anybody listening. Putting out that book was one of the scariest things I've ever done, because it was like me taking off all my clothes and walking down Main Street with sparklers in both hands saying, look at me, look at me. I mean, it's terrifying.
Was it really that scary?
Well, it is, until I was able to flip a switch in my head, which is, and who takes issue with this could not be 100% full of crap too.
Oh my gosh.
You know, because
Anne Hanley to write that, by the way.
Say that again.
How did you get Anne Hanley to?
She blurbed the book. Yeah. Okay. Let this be a lesson to you. So what Dana's talking about is, on the back of my book, Retoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind, which I wrote with my colleague, Spencer X. Smith, I got Anne Hanley to write a blurb.
I loved it.
And she wrote, this isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on accurate way to reframe your social efforts. And then it says, Anne Hanley, marketing profs, Wall Street Journal bestselling author of Everybody Writes, Your Go-To Guide to Creating Ridiculously Good Content. So what Dana's really asking is, how did you get the queen of content marketing, which is what she's universally called, to blurb your book? And I'll say this. When the book was about 90% done, I thought to myself, this is a self-published book. This is about the time that publishers would send it out to have it blurbed by well-known authors or whoever. And I started thinking about, well, I should send it out. And I did a massive email send out to 5 people. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, out of those 5 people, I had 2 A-listers a couple of B-listers and one C-lister. And these are just people that I thought maybe would do it. The A-listers were a total shot in the dark. Mm-hmm. So what happens? I was able to, out of that list of five, to get two new blurbs. Who were they? Anne Hanley, the queen of content marketing, and Professor Scott Galloway of NYU Stern School of Business. You might know him from the Pivot podcast with Kara Swisher, the big dog himself. I mean, this to me, it was amazing, to be honest. I sent out the emails, and within half an hour, I got one back from Scott Galloway saying, how about this? I walk up out of my basement office. My wife sees my face, thinks I'm having a mild coronary. And she says, what happened? And I said, Stephen King just blurbed my first time novel. And then a couple days later, Anne Hanley replied. So you asked, this is all a long story to
answer. No, I love it. I have a good question. Story about her too.
But Anne Hanley did what she did because I did what she asked me to do. I went to her website, and I think still, if you go to her website, you'll see a section, you know, contact Anne or something like that. And she wrote some copy, very succinct, very to the point, but with a little bit of, I get asked by a lot of people to do a lot of things. If you want to do that, I'm fine with that. But please, one, state clearly what you're asking. Two, da-da-da. Three, da-da-da. Four, da-da-da. Four steps. And so I sent her an email saying, you know, and but whatever, blah, blah, blah. One, I would like you to blurb my book. Two, I've attached the PDF of the book for your perusal. Three, you know, I just followed her directions, but I wrote it in a way that was personable. And I tried to make it a little bit funny without being funny, without being cute funny, you know? And all of a sudden I did what she asked. Do you know how many people do that? Which gets me to a story you told me. I got Anne Hanley to blurb the book because I asked someone else, and we're going long on this podcast. I'm sorry. Normally, I like to keep these episodes around half an hour, but this one might be 3-4 hours because Dana Sanchez is just such a love, and I'm really enjoying this conversation, so we're going to keep going. This story blew my mind. Okay, so my first year at Social Media Marketing World was 2018. One of the people I sought out purposely was Guy Kawasaki, because I'm a huge Apple computer fan. And for those of us who've been around long enough, we'll remember that Guy Kawasaki was at Apple Computer way back in the day. And he was like the first Apple evangelist for the new system called Macintosh.
Yep.
So he was literally the guy who was taking all the journalists and showing them this brand new graphical interface, how it worked and all that stuff. He's since gone on to become, you know, to join the pantheon of marketing experts, gurus that is universally respected, but not universally beloved. Because if you're talking about someone who has an opinion, that dude has an opinion. Now, I'm going to let Dana respond to this in a second. But during that presentation he gave, at the end of it, he always says, by the way, here's my cell phone number. If you have any questions,
hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book?
Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns. ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Hanley, said, this isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts. Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, ROTOMA. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
When he said no one ever uses it, they were like, oh, I'm going to show you, you know, and they picked up the phone, and I'm not going to name any names, but they were like, hey, guy, I'm in your session. In the session? Are you kidding me? Cool. And you said no one would ever call you, but I just wanted to let you know, why are you calling him in the session? Right. No, he's not going to answer, but okay, regardless. And he did call them back. They left a message and he said, hey, I'm Guy. Hey, this is Guy. I got your message. Thanks for calling. And then they had nothing else to say and they hung up. And I said, I'm never going to be that person ever.
Right.
So the only time I will contact him, and I will contact him, is when I have something of value to offer him. So I held on to his number for 2 years. It was always there. And I just never had anything of value to offer him. But I'm just not going to be that person. And I also don't take pictures with speakers, you know, unless they ask me to, if they're now friends of mine. So I was driving to meet a friend for dinner. And she's a CPA. And we were meeting at this little Mexican restaurant in my little Midwestern town called Los Tres Amigos. And I'm coming from work and I'm running late per usual. And I'm listening because I didn't catch his session at the last Social Media Marketing World that he was there, because I think I was attending a friend's session. I wanted to support them. So I was listening to it on the way to meet my friend for dinner. And this was about 2 or 3 weeks after the conference. So I get there, and while I was running late, she was on her phone, as most people are, nursing a margarita. And she said, "So how was your conference?" And I said, "Oh, it was amazing." She goes, "Well, who goes to these conferences? And like, who's speaking? Who?" And I gave the example. I said, "Well, you know, you have your A-listers, which are like Guy Kawasaki." And she stopped me. She goes, "Guy Kawasaki?" And I'm like, I was shocked. I said, "Yeah, you know him?" And she goes, because I couldn't believe, because she's a CPA, that most people that aren't in marketing may not know him, you know? Right. And she said, "Actually, I do know him. I follow him on LinkedIn. And while I was waiting for you, I was just reading one of his articles." And I said, "Shut up." Yeah. And she said, "I won't." And I said, "I was just listening to his session from the last social." This is like serendipitous. Right. So I said, "You know what? I have his phone number." And I took a screenshot. I went to LinkedIn. I took a screenshot of his article. And then I said, "This is my moment." So I texted him and I sent him a screenshot. And I just basically told him what I just told you in not so, probably way fewer words. And I said, "My name's Dana. I saw you, blah, 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 a few years ago. I never wanted to be that person that didn't have something of value. This was my one moment. Great article, great session." And immediately, as soon as I sent it, the little bubbles started popping up.
Yeah.
And I got chills and a bit scared. And he wrote back. And that ensued about 4 hours of he and I texting. Not,
wow.
Not totally like 4 hours, like every second, but about 4 hours of back and forth. And we got to the point where he says, I mean, I'm just flabbergasted, honestly. He said, "You know, you're like a sister from another mister." And I went, "Oh my gosh, what a compliment." And then he asked me, he was introducing a new app. And he asked me if I would try it out. I would kind of beta test it. And I said, "Absolutely." And it was a photo sharing app. And it was all about keeping it real. And what's fun is that I think the reason since then, he and I have, we still talk. And I still, you know, we still share photos on this app. And every now and then I'll get shocked. I won't hear from him for, you know, a couple months. And the next thing you know, he's calling me, which was super scary, because so far he and I'd only ever, you know, texted. But he would send me pictures on this photo sharing app of like, "Hey, I'm in Hawaii right now." And I'm like, "Oh, that's cool. You know, have fun." And then he sent me a picture of his house. And I'm like, "Damn, that's a really nice house." But I didn't say that, actually. I was thinking it. I went outside and took a picture of my duplex.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, "Dude, so this is where I live and the other site's for rent right now. You're interested, you know?"
Right.
And it was just sort of like one of those where he would send me a picture of a guy, like he would be landing in Japan or something, or Germany. And there would be a guy with a Mercedes sign, just the logo.
Right.
Waiting for him to come off the airplane. And I thought, what kind of success do you have to achieve for someone just to hold up a logo and you know that's for you? He's like, yeah. There's not even your name. And so I was like, "God, that guy looks amazing. I just want to pay someone to do that for me, but I'd rather do it in an ironic way and have them hold up a sign like Dollar General, you know, or something
right.
like."
Right.
And me go, "That's for me." And so he and I have kind of had this fun, playful relationship, but it's all based on how you network. You know, you do it in a way that is not about you. It's about them.
Exactly. That, I think, is the number one thing about marketing. And even, dare I say, your personal brand. Your mm-hmm. personal brand is not about you. It's about how you can serve other people, how you can add something to their life, how you can make them look great in a way that still makes you look good, you know?
Well, you look good by making them look great.
Exactly. Well, and that's what I'm saying is this podcast is me, and this is part of the strategy. I'm pulling back the curtain, people. Ooh, be prepared for this. Part of the strategy of me doing this podcast is to bring people on, try to make them look great, and bask in the reflected spotlight that I shine on them.
Yeah, it's so funny. I had this saying that when people, and I used to deflect compliments a lot. I've since stopped doing that because I found myself hot potatoing every single compliment that came to me. I'd just throw it back on someone. But whenever my clients would say, thanks for a good job, I'd say, I'm just a reflection of you. But I mean, it's true.
It is. Absolutely. The great work that you were able to do was because you accepted it. You know, I may have created that great work, but you're the one who greenlit it. The award that this won is your award because you were smart enough to, one, probably trust me and say, this is the one we should do. But you're the one who controls whether it gets posted or if it airs or whatever. And by the way, it's not me, it's us. Because it's always about collaboration and human connection. That's why I'm so incredibly pleased to connect more with Dana Sanchez of clipboardconfidence.com. One more time, for those listening, how can people learn more about you, what you do, and how you do it?
You can find me at clipboardconfidence.com on my social media. You know, you can link to all my social media. I do have a video series that I do on Facebook called How Not to Suck at Business Marketing and Life, where we delve into why people behave the way they do and good practical business and marketing tips. Just go to Facebook and type in Dana Sanchez, marketing consultant, and hopefully my cute little face will show up with my black glasses. And yeah, just learn more. I'd love to have you. It'd be an honor.
Well, there you go. Dana Sanchez, as you can tell, she's about as authentic as they come. So I'm really delighted to have you on the podcast. I want to remind people that if you enjoy the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, please like, subscribe, refer, and most of all, review the podcast wherever you get it, because that helps other people find it. For now, I'm DP Knutton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and she is
Dana Sanchez.
And I'll be talking to you next week. Bye-bye.